A new nonprofit being birthed out of Montana called Warrior Transition Outdoors, still in its infancy, but it's gaining traction on a national level. How is it different? How is it needed? We speak with Sergeant Gavin Erickson and his brother Gabe Erickson about the organization's aim for a more complete military to civilian life transition for veterans who struggle with getting back to their day-to-day lives. It's long-term family care. I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thank you for clicking on to the podcast today with Gavin and Gabe Erickson of Warrior Transition Outdoors. Today's podcast sponsored by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Let me just introduce, before I get on here, Army Sergeant Gavin Erickson. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good, Tom. I'm good.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And his brother, Gabe Erickson, Chief Executive Officer. You had to give him a job.
That's right.
Yeah. Warrior Transition Outdoors. I'm sitting here chatting with these guys about their mission and the faith they have behind it. And there's just a lot of passion here. I really appreciate that. Why don't we start with Army Sergeant, I can call you Gavin. I know you'll be all right with that.
But you can call me Gavin.
I want to thank you for your service there as well. It's is it 20 years now?
And, yeah, I'm at 18 years.
Yeah. And with duties in Afghanistan and Korea and Iraq as well.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
It's my pleasure.
I think what brings you to the table here is that. Why don't you talk about what Warrior Transition Outdoors is and then – Why it is. Not necessarily just what it is, but why it is.
Sure.
And then we'll get to Gabe, too, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Just the brother.
Yeah. No, so like you said, I've been in the Army for 18 years. I'm a first sergeant. I run the Army recruiting company here in Billings. We cover, like, most of the state of Wyoming and Montana. But the beginning part of my career was in the infantry. I did 8 years in the infantry at the 101st Airborne and deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. And while I was in Iraq, some of my friends got out of the service while we were deployed. And so we were kind of getting the play-by-play on their transition throughout our deployment. And they were really struggling, you know. You go from getting in gunfights 5 to 6 days a week to shopping for milk at Walmart. It's pretty tough sometimes.
Yeah.
And so me and a handful of my friends kind of said to ourselves, what can we do to help ease that transition? And what we knew and what we're passionate about at the time was the outdoors. So when we got back to Fort Campbell, we started a nonprofit that just took veterans hunting and fishing. Right after our 501c3, we all got orders to go other places in the country, which is kind of the nature of the beast, active duty. Yeah. And so, it wasn't feasible anymore to have that nonprofit, which I thank God for every day because my orders took me into the recruiting world, which was a transition in and of itself for me. Mm-hmm. And a couple years into that, I was kind of venting to one of my high school friends who had just finished a clinical psychology program with the Navy. And she was telling me that a lot of her colleagues and friends moonlit in the community helping veterans with that. And that made what I wanted to do feel very much like a Band-Aid over a gaping wound of a problem, hunting and fishing. But then when you get done with those trips, where do you go? Home to the same situation you were in. So I kind of committed to myself then that when I retired, I was going to start a nonprofit that took a holistic approach at the veteran transition problem over a long period of time to give a veteran, you know, that longevity and care. And so I kind of recruited all over the country and won the lottery of assignments that took me here to Montana. And I love it here. I invited Gabe here. And when he got here, he was like, hey, I'm staying because it's beautiful. I was like, well, good thing I have a spare bedroom. And that's kind of where my story ends and his begins on this journey. So if you want to
Let's go into that because I'll set the stage just briefly there. Who's the older brother? Younger brother?
I'm older.
Okay. Yeah. You guys are pretty close in age, though.
We are. 18 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll give your sister a hard time along the way, too. Gabe. Were you detached from Gavin's experience in the Army? Was it just Gavin's my brother and everything evolved around that brotherly experience? According to what I'm reading here too,
yeah.
you opened your eyes and saw a different kind of Gavin. Talk about that journey.
I mean, that's right. We grew up on a farm playing army in the woods and doing chores and all that kind of stuff. And I would say, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but our brotherly bond growing up was like super tight.
Yeah.
And so his junior year or senior year went to basic?
Junior year.
Junior year went to basic. And for me, like that as a still like developing mind, now my brother was just gone and I didn't know where he went and what he went through. He told me some stories, but you can't relate to being doing the like the gas and stuff like that, you know? So you hear things, but I was just young and I took for granted, I would say, the fact that we had this foundation. But if you don't maintain a foundation, it goes away, you know? And so that's something that when he started going over to Korea, and to me, like when he was in Korea, that wasn't like a high conflict zone, right?
No, it wasn't.
And so I wasn't necessarily like in my heart, like worried about him, mm-hmm. like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, like I look back and I was lacking as a person. When he went to Iraq and Afghanistan, I didn't send him one letter. If I'm just being honest, I didn't send him a letter. I just thought we had a brotherhood. And so when he came back, all of a sudden, I actually took the role of like, dude, we you know, I started moving on with my life saying like, hey, we don't have a brotherhood now. Like, you don't talk to me. I don't talk to you. It was like a whole mess. And it took some of that conflict, which I'm really thankful for, actually kind of like just broke the ice and allowed us to be real with each other. And it was at that point where I started to see his like humanity, even beyond the brotherhood, like his humanity. And then I started listening to some of the stories he was telling with some of his buddies. And I'm like, wait, what? You did what? And that's kind of when I started having my awakening, I guess. It was probably 2015, 2016, where I started to like reinvest on building like a natural, like a genuine brother relationship with him. So
now express that as a microcosm for society, because I think that's what you hit at when you talk about, and you go, it's warrior transition outdoors. Not with the S. I think I was stuck with warriors because there's, you know, we think of our warriors, but it's warriortransitionoutdoors.org. And you'll go and read underneath Sergeant Gavin Erickson. I'm excited to bring awareness to what being a veteran means because that is still shrouded in a lot of misunderstanding. So I'm seeing this story a little bit as a microcosm of how you're trying to address this problem. We in society don't have that full understanding. What are we lacking then?
I would say, Tom, first off, we do it. We sign that line because we don't want our family and loved ones to have to do it.
That's why you did it. And I appreciated that. It stated here, too. And I noted that you had a duty to call, a call to duty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, though, like Gabe said, it's not even that we meant to disconnect. It's just that's what happened. Right. And there's a narrative around what a veteran is right now. We asked someone in a coffee shop yesterday, if we said the word veteran to you, would you ever think of the next word being like high functioning? And they were like, no. And that is sad because a lot of veterans, most veterans are high functioning. And there's a narrative that exists right now that veterans are limbless, disabled, suicidal, not mentally stable, alcoholics, beat our spouses, not good parents.
Thank you. Yeah, there is that.
There is that.
And it's false misunderstanding.
There are those things going on, but they do not define who we are. Whether you're a civilian or a veteran, they do not define who we are as people. They are external circumstances to your life, not who you are. And so that's one thing I meant when I said, like, people just don't understand who veterans are. At the end of the day, veterans are just humans, just like everybody else. But we get looked at through a lens. You know, there are some even more negative lenses, like all you did was go overseas and kill people. And I carried around a backpack that had $50,000 in it. And I paid people to build their own schools that the Taliban blew up. Right. And I paid people to stand guard outside their cities that Al-Qaeda was trying to overrun in Iraq. And so when I got home and I told my civilian friends that, and even my family, they were like, you did what? Like, you were in the infantry. Like, I did that. Right. But people don't understand even just like small things like that. But on the outside, like when you're not deployed anymore, when you're back in the States, as soon as you get back, there's a microscope on you. And this is what you look like to the rest of the country.
Did you're not transitioning yet, or are you? I'm still in active duty.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that you're getting your head around transitioning.
Yeah, like yeah. I said, I felt like I went through a transition going from the infantry to the recruiting world.
Yeah,
because I wasn't on an army base anymore. I was out. You know, I had like maybe four people that were in uniform around me, and that was it. It was civilians. And so I felt like I went through my own transition then. And then I've always been like empathetic. So I can't even imagine like just leaving the service and going to a community that has no uniforms. You know, nobody speaks your language, you know, and it's hard to get, as veterans, we struggle to get back to that humanity as well, because our identity was wrapped up in our service. That's what we did. We were passionate about that. We loved that, you know?
Gabe, how does, and that's Army Sergeant Gavin Erickson. His brother Gabe is with us as well. Gavin is one of, they're both co-founders of WarriorTransitionOutdoors.org. And again, it's something, it's just kind of, it's picking up a lot of steam, and you just got going early on this. And so, not that long ago. So we'll talk about that. But Gabe, how does that experience, your experience, shape Warrior Transition Outdoors? You're experiencing in understanding now, you're obviously connected at a very close level, family level, actually, with Gavin. But how does your experience then guide Warrior Transition Outdoors and help people understand?
I think you kind of hit it on the head earlier that this is a little microcosm of the bigger picture. And I actually had, this was up until just recently, I kind of thought I was a supporting role for him helping veterans. And I had an epiphany, shower thoughts, that I'm an active participant in this as well. And that comes from like my story of everything on my bio on the website, right? Like of learning empathy and putting in the work to understand. Don't just hear a veteran share a story. I find it super easy when he's sharing stories like he just did. And not that it just happened, but I find it easy to kind of tune out because you don't relate to it. Rather than that, just tune in, you know? And so I think for me, it becomes, I get to take on this advocacy role for myself to like grow empathy, to actually care and listen to him and trust him and just say, I don't know it all. You know, I think that's a powerful thing to kind of own up to. Specifically, my professional background is in broadcasting, Tom. So we've talked a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. So like storytelling is a massive part of like my heart. And so that's a big thing that we're doing as an organization. We're not doing any marketing or things like that. We're only doing storytelling because he mentioned that narrative, and that is such a powerful narrative right now. And people only see the world through their paradigm. They only see what they see, the way they see it. It might not even be true, but it's just their reality. So we need to shift that narrative into the real narrative around who a veteran is. So that's what a lot of that storytelling is going to be about, is to shape like the new understanding of things.
Gabe Erickson with the civilian beard and an Army Sergeant Gavin Erickson with the Army clean cut look there too. That's how we get to tell them apart here. I appreciate that. We're going to take a break and come on back because as we were talking early on, the Department of Defense has a responsibility. The Veterans Administration has a responsibility. Are they meeting those responsibilities when it comes to veterans transitioning? And we'll ask the question, what is our responsibility as community as well? Back with more from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Over at the Capitol, you know, we've become a pretty litigious society, and the state legislature is looking at ways of dealing with that. The governor is requesting $2.6 million for a new fund for the Department of Justice's Legal Services Division. Brian Bennett will have headline news and more on that upcoming. I'm Tom Schultz, back here at 866-627-5483. 866-627-5483. If you'd like to join us here, and a text message at 781-627-5483. Maybe share your experiences. Maybe share what you know or you believe needs to be done when we talk about transitioning from military life to civilian life. It's more... I'm going to let the experts talk about it, and I'll reintroduce them too. It's more complicated than just simply here's a suitcase, here's a box of food, here's a family, go live a happy life. It's a lot more complicated than that. Army Sergeant Gavin Erickson is with us here. First Sergeant in the Army. You've been on active duty for 18 years with a heart for veterans. Now doing some recruiting, which I think is pretty cool. I want to ask, how that is going. His brother Gabe Erickson is with him as well. He's the Chief Executive Officer. Together, they have formed this nonprofit, which just started, I think, in November, yep. Warrior Transition Outdoors. Gabe, why don't I start with you? Why do you think this thing has taken off so much?
This is a mission that is being unmet. And I know there's a lot of transitional things out there and there's a lot of services for veterans, but something about this mission is not being addressed. And I think that's what's hitting a hot button for people. So I'll let him talk more about that. But
and we talked about, and you threw some figures out there, which I think are important to kind of get a handle on. But as I said, going into the break, the Department of Defense, they do transitional work. And they have a responsibility. The VA, same thing. Our communities have a responsibility, although that's unwritten. The DOD and the VA, those are written down. Yeah. The rest of us, we pick it up because this is we try to serve one another, hopefully. But talk about why maybe those things are falling through the cracks.
Right. So, billions of dollars, $1.1 billion from Congress was spent last year on veteran suicide. And to me, that's the end. There's nothing past suicide. So what's happening upstream, right? And veterans, nobody, not only veterans, wakes up and just is like, you know what? Living a good life, feel like killing myself. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. Things happen that lead you to that like hopeless feeling, you know? And so we did some research and less than $400 million is being spent on the transition process. Less than $400 million. And that's all pre-DD-214, which is like pre-exit paperwork. So if the government slid half of that budget towards transition services to take care of veterans prior to them getting out, there would be a lot less veteran suicide because you're upstream of those issues, you know, through transition. And just like any, like somebody losing a job or even switching job to job, you know, you might go through a move where you have to change houses. There's a financial thing that happens that maybe you go through a divorce or, you know, there's things that happen that kind of lead you to that hopeless feeling. And so what are we doing upstream of that to kind of get ahead of that suicide? Right. Instead of throwing money at the issue, we need to be throwing money at upstream stuff to help support stopping that issue.
More money into mental health and less money into funeral services.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the DOD responsibility. $1.1 billion was dedicated toward this. Only $400 million allocated toward the after, like you said. Everything goes to the pre-exit paperwork kind of thing. What's the VA's responsibility
here? Well, that leaves it squarely on the shoulders of the VA and local veteran service organizations to kind of pick up that slack then. And Gabe and I have talked to several veterans that have described leaving the service and going through the VA process like they were floating and just didn't know where to go, what to do. I mean, these are high functioning individuals who have been in the Army for 20 years, terrified of leaving service because they just don't know what that next day is going to look like.
And just I'm going to that. I mean, actual terrified. You use that word purposely, I yeah. suppose. Why is that? They're not afraid of getting, you know, shot at from 100 yards away. But like you said, going to the store and getting milk can be traumatic for them.
Yeah, I would say like not terrified to do daily stuff. It's terrified of like, you know, when you're in the military, you train to kind of encounter those things, but you don't train to not be in the military anymore. You know,
yeah,
there's a process called TAP that is supposed to be a year long prior to you exiting. And you know, whether that happens or not, I would say like if 100 veterans called into your show right now, probably 80 of them would be like, that process was not great for me. Mm-hmm. If not more. And again,
if they would ever call,
if they would ever call, yeah. But again, that's pre-DD-214, that's pre-exit paperwork. So that burden lays squarely on the VA. And because of that, that process is really hard, not hard to navigate. In a sense of like, it's just difficult. It's just time consuming. And a lot of times it is difficult, but definitely time consuming. And other people have described it as like trying to walk through a mud pit with muck boots on.
Yeah.
You know, and that, if you've ever walked through mud with muck boots, it's not fun.
Right? No. And it gets heavier each step.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Gabe, you're the microcosm or the macrocosm for community. You're the surrogate for community because we talk about the Department of Defense and the veterans and their responsibility. I'm going to come back after a news break and ask about what is our responsibility as individuals. You know, there's the brotherly thing going on here. Our communities should also have that sense of a brotherly care, brotherly love, if you want.
Yeah.
So that's the question. We come on back with more. It is Army Sergeant Gavin Erickson and Gabe Erickson, Warrior Transition Outdoors. We'll talk more, too, upcoming about what this program is and their model. But
does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of what Warrior Transition Outdoors is and how it's a little bit different out there and their model for continued transitional care with Army Sergeant Gavin Erickson and also his brother Gabe Erickson. And Gabe, as we went to break, you know, we had talked about the responsibility of the Army and,
yep.
and the Veterans Administration.
Yeah.
What is our responsibility as a community? Can you speak to that?
Sure. I mean, so the simple yet incredibly complex answer is be a good human, you know. And if you think about you and I, Tom, are civilians. Did you serve?
No.
Sorry. Okay. So
family did, but...
But we go through our own changes, and what do you need when you're transitioning? You need someone to listen and someone to be there, and institutions can't do that for you. You know, the community has to step up, and even whether that's as a mesoscale of the community we're talking about or within the community, when you're at the coffee shop, taking the time to ask the tough questions or just let people know. I think that's, as I owned my duty in this myself, I started to just tell people, I'm an advocate for military people. Just saying that and kind of owning that, acknowledging that you don't know everything and allowing the truth to become your reality rather than a perception. You know, so when you see a veteran, don't just paint them in a picture. Kind of, yeah, this is like heart work. This is heart level work where you have to pay attention to how you're seeing people, how you're talking, whether you're actually listening. I don't know how to fix that other than asking people just to listen to their hearts. Like when you hear your heart speak, you know, we all know that feeling when we hear our heart speak. To me, that's God, you know, but when you hear our hearts speak, whether it's the universe or whatever you want to call it, listen to that. And I think just showing people that you're there to listen, that you don't have to fix it. You're just, I don't know. Am I hitting the nail on the head here?
I want to have you follow up with that, Gavin, because what do you expect? You probably have certain expectations of the DOD and the VA because they're spelled out. But when you get to a community, those expectations are not spelled out. What are they from your standpoint?
I would just say going back to that narrative, if you who have not had interactions or you didn't serve yourself, right? If you just go into a conversation with a veteran or even just seeing a veteran in a coffee shop, knowing you automatically have that narrative and taking that thought captive and being like, how do I really feel about this? And not judging right off the bat and just kind of like Gabe said, just tapping into to a truth, right? And that might ask you to spark a question. I've never been a police officer before. But I go up to police officers and I shake their hand mm-hmm. because they serve, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not focused on shootings or XYZ. Like they are wearing that uniform for a reason. They volunteered to serve. And so I don't go into that with an existing narrative. I go into it like person to person. Hey, thank you for doing what you're doing, you know, and then that a lot of times sparks a conversation. Like, what are you doing in this coffee shop, man? Like, you know. Oh, you're getting a coffee and not a donut. There you go. You know, like, see, it's a totally different, you know, it's the opposite side. So go ahead.
Oh, I'll say, when you think about, you know, Tom, if you walk into a coffee shop and everyone says, oh, there's Tom, the radio guy, how disconnected do you feel from everyone in there because they pegged you a certain way?
Depends on whether I'm paying for my own coffee or not, right?
Right. So it depends on, like, what your duty is that day. But if you're trying to go in as just Tom, the family man,
right.
You know, like you said before the break, like, this brotherly bond, that's... I don't think anything is by chance. And I think, like you said, people need to adapt to like a brotherly mindset, not even like a community nonprofit mindset, but like a brotherly mindset about our neighbors.
Yeah.
But
can we go back quick, Tom, to that example?
In right? 10 seconds. Can you do it in 10 seconds?
Yeah. So somebody bought you a coffee, but other people are looking at you as Tom the Radio Guy with a perception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Stand by. We got more to come here. We're going to dig into what Warrior Transition Outdoors really does. Back with more in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
They are a family advocacy organization with an outdoor adventure problem. That is warriortransitionoutdoors.org for more information there. A new nonprofit that's really picking up speed, or steam, I should say, nationally. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. Army Sergeant Gavin Erickson with us. He is the founder. Do you have an official title, by the way, with Warrior Transition Outdoors?
I guess I'm like the COO.
COO. Yeah. Okay. All right. I can do that. And so then you would come underneath the CEO, yeah, right? E before O.
That's how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Gabe Erickson is the CEO, Chief Executive Officer, Warrior Transition Outdoors. Just a reminder, tomorrow, just a little bit on Native Ball. This is the new movie by Family Theaters featuring Malia Kipp with the University of Montana. She was like, was it 92? I think the only Division I women's basketball player with Native American tribe, tribal connections. That is upcoming tomorrow, a Robin Selvig court. That's going to happen at the University of Montana. We'll talk about this N7, Nike N7 program. And then also on the program, why do we make it so hard for people to pick up our garbage? Roger Koopman will be with us on that. All right. Thank you guys for being here. I appreciate that. There's still a lot of stuff to talk about here. And it's fair to talk about all that because people are in different places when it comes to military to civilian life transition. There are a lot of different places to be there. But what, and I'll start with you, Gavin, what is the nuts and bolts of a Warrior Transition Outdoors? Why is it different? And why do we need another, service organization?
Yeah, there's a lot of people doing really great things for the veteran community out there. Excellent hunting, fishing programs. You know, Warriors of Quiet Waters has a great program over in Bozeman. They served 271 veterans last year, fly fishing and getting people like deep into what they have going on, and just a great program over there. But no one's really doing, Gabe and I struggled to find a place in America that's doing long-term care and support for veterans as a nonprofit. And so when people come into our Warrior Transition Outdoors family, our WTO family, they get assigned an advocate. And that advocate is there to aggressively plug gaps that the family might have, whether that's with resources within WTO or external in the community. And along with that, we also have people just dedicated that are very veteran-centric. We call them military connection specialists that help the veteran navigate the VA, that help them with their exiting procedures, whether that's retirement or ETS, help them gather paperwork, help them get to their appointments.
Compensation claims,
all those types of things. And then, another thing is just helping people understand and use the benefits that they earned while they were in. And then lastly, we have formed a medical/mental health advisory board of professionals across the country, all from diverse backgrounds, from trauma counseling to family therapy to women's health and wellness, holistic, all these different people. I think we have like 8 board members from across the country, and they're there to just provide their professional opinion on what they think is going on in the home. So we have someone with a social work background that will do in-person visits with our advocate, essentially, and nothing formal or anything, but they are observing things through that lens, right? And then they're reporting what they see back to the board, and the board is providing their professional opinions, and we're packaging that and giving that to the civilian connection specialist, the advocate, and saying, like, this is our professional opinion of what we feel like the family would best would be best doing moving forward. And then it's the advocate's job to find the resources to make that plan happen.
What kind of training do you provide for those advocates? Because as we were kind of talking earlier, there's sometimes a fine line between, inclusion into personal lives and coming under authority versus intrusion. And I know that veterans are very conscious of that line, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So it's not necessarily training we provide. These are people that believe in our mission and they love people and they love veterans and they support what veterans have done. And so it's just a conversation of, hey, it's different when you have someone telling you need to do this rather than if someone's telling you like, hey, I'm your friend. You know, I love and care about you. We feel like you should do this. And and by the way, I will be with you every step of the way when we do this together. So not pointing them to a website and saying, hey, go do this resource, or, hey, I know this doctor downtown, he'll take a look at you, see you later. Like, our advocates are going with and doing these things with the veteran and their family. And it's not just the veteran, it's the family dynamic, the holistic care, the spouse, the children, the dog, the cat, the groceries, the dishes, all of it, right? Because you might have a $250,000 a year job, but you got a need somewhere in that family. You have a need somewhere. And it's our advocate's job to help the family identify that need and then help them fill that with a resource.
Gabe, I want you to fill in the back there about, I could look up warriortransitionoutdoors.org. In fact, I've got it in front of me here. You have a 2% initiative. We should talk about that. You've got partners. There's a list of partners already on there. There's a list of advocates on there. And before I forget, there is an event coming up locally in Billings that the good folks at Harley-Davidson, the ushers have been put on. A year in and year out. Talk about that too.
Yeah, so that's the Munchie Bowl on February 4th, Saturday.
No greater name than that. Right?
I know.
Yeah.
And we got a precursor in one of the games just to some of the food people were making, and we're going to have our own like artichoke dip there. But
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is there agreement on what this dip is or
so
family
secret? It's a family secret, but one of our board members calls it Articrack. So
I get it. Yeah.
So that's a fun event. Like, we'd love for people to come down and just if you're intrigued by this conversation at all, just come meet us. If you want to get involved and actually cook something and compete, that's an option too. But yeah, we're thankful for Beartooth Harley hooking us up with that.
The Munchie Bowl. Yeah. Like that. why are people grabbing? I mean, you guys really launched this in a concerted effort in November. And you're making it a national focus too.
We are. I mean, we don't want to turn anyone down just because they live across the border in Wyoming or in Idaho or anything like that. We are very all about unconditional love. Like, we talk to God all the time, and we want to channel that unconditional love. So that's one of our frustrations with the nonprofit sphere. And I get it, some people's hands are tied, but when people's hands aren't tied and they show conditional love anyway, that's really frustrating. So when we talk about this, I think people just realize, like we said, that no one's doing lifelong care. It's proactive, not passive. And like our board, we just had a conversation, added a new board member. We were on the phone with her for 20 minutes. We met her for the first time, and 20 minutes later, she says, yes. We just told her, you want to be on the board? Yes, after 20 minutes of knowing each other, because it's such a need. So I don't know how else to describe it. It's just everything we're doing, we're trying to do it. Kevin, I'll let you say it, but the anti-nonprofit is kind of his thing, I guess. That's our mindset. Is like, if nonprofits are doing it one way, what is the opposite way that we can do this to be successful? And I think that's why so many people aren't coming on board, because we are trying to build relationships. We're not trying to use people to lift ourselves up. Yeah. We're not trying to use the veteran name to lift our organization up. We are here trying to leverage what we have. And on the partners page, like, we're trying to leverage, ask people to leverage what they have. This is, you talk about community research, this is stepping up and saying, what do I have? Mm-hmm. And how can I leverage it to support my neighbors? So that's why everyone's like in.
I may not ask this question artfully, but I kind of noted, why do we need another organization? But to that point is, I get that. I mean, I'm having you address that because you had noted it too. But the organizations out, I think veterans feel like, wow, they're just going to take advantage of me. So I don't know that people gravitate always to that. Some people are turned away by that. What's your experience on that? And how are you different?
Yeah, so I've been on fishing and hunting trips, like, as an active duty service member that, and again, there's people out there doing really cool things for veterans, but the fishing charter I went on, for example, on the East Coast, invited a group of active service and veterans members out. So me and like five of my friends went. They never talked to us again, but our stuff was all over their social media. And I felt very, I felt kind of used, right? They provided a really cool experience. But then I'm like, well, there, it, something was missing. Like something felt missing. And I went back to my job and I never talked to them again and they didn't follow up. And I don't want to be that organization. Like if I take some, if I take a veteran on an elk hunt, which we are doing in September of next year or this year, I want that veteran to know, like, we're going on this elk hunt and it's not just so you can have fun. It's going to be a healing experience because elk hunting is hard with a bow. And I'm going to be there with you doing it. And we're going to share stories around a campfire, maybe have a beer or two. And then I'm going to be in your life forever, bud. Like that's how it is because I care, right? And that's how everyone, we have 26 members on our team, cadre members. And every one of those cadre members is either a veteran or a direct family member of a veteran. And they all care the same way I do. And so that's what we talk about. And that's what makes us different. Not that people don't care, but we're there forever. Like every one of them has my personal cell phone number. And it's a personal, deep relationship.
I appreciate that. I'm playing devil's advocate. This organization is brand new, 10 years down the road. You know, it'll shift and it'll mold itself, so to speak. And so that'll be interesting. But you'll still have those relationships.
We're taking a bottom-up approach. You know, the corporate structure is typically like a triangle, right, where the CEO, CEO are on top. We're flipping that, inverting it. So in 10 years, if we're massive and, you know, several hundred million dollar company or whatever it happens to be, if a veteran calls me, I'm going to answer. If a family member calls me, I'm going to answer. And my cell phone will still be right there for people. We're not going to change that.
I got to save a little time because I do. I can't help. I'm very curious about being a recruiter and what you're able to discuss from that official standpoint, so to speak. I know you've got a different hat on now. I wonder if it's okay to maybe kind of talk about that and how recruiting is going nowadays. Would that be all right?
A little bit. Yeah. Okay. It's tough.
I bet it is. Let's take a quick break and come on back. We are with Army Sergeant Gavin Erickson and also his brother Gabe, COO and CEO, respectively, of Warrior Transition Outdoors. We'll talk more as we come on back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
You ain't a kidding. Fastest hour in radio. Tom Schultz back alongside. Thanks for being here. Gabe Erickson, Chief Executive Officer, Warrior Transition Outdoors. Army Sergeant Gavin Erickson, active Army First Sergeant, and also doing some recruiting. I want to get to, because Gabe, you're the storyteller in this, and storytelling is a big part of getting people to understand things. But first, a word, as much as you're able to address how recruiting is going, because we know numbers are down, and we know the pandemic had an effect on our military, probably top to bottom in ways that we're not really witnessing right now. But as an active recruiter, what's going on?
So, yeah, so I run a company of right now we have like 20 recruiters across Montana and Wyoming. And pretty much it's tough, but the Army has taken a hard look at some of the things that kind of went away incentive wise for a while. And there are some massive bonuses out there right now. There's like choice of duty station, which wasn't there for a while, for probably like 15 years. There's like buddy programs and there's some and like airborne schools and ranger schools and all that type of stuff that's out there right now that didn't used to be out there. Student loan repayment, like $50,000 in student loan repayment. So I think the Department of Defense has taken a really hard look at some of the stuff that they have sliding across the desk towards applicants. And they kind of opened all those doors right now.
I guess the good news is then you know that the people who are approaching you with serious interest are serious for the right reasons, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Storytelling a big part of this, Gabe. Talk about how that all plays into educating people and a part of your mission here and how your model is different than others.
Yeah. Well, so the family advocacy is the core But if we're not doing anything to change people's perspectives on all this, then we're failing, right? And so we have a no marketing policy. Like, we're not doing any marketing, we're doing storytelling. And so I've formed a creative collective, actually, of Emmy award-winning, Emmy-nominated storytellers, journalists. So everything from the artistic side of things to the journalist side of things to anything in between, whether it's writing, photography, video, you name it, I'm collecting storytellers that I'm asking them, would you want to be involved in sharing these stories? If we can help cover some of those costs for travel or things, but would you donate your creative energy? And if I can get 500 creatives doing that, we've got a movement all of a sudden, you know? So we've got a handful already and it's going really well. And so there's going to be a lot of cool like documentary stuff coming up. We have connections at Netflix and Time Warner and Prime, Amazon Prime. And yeah. So we're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff. And you're going to see the stuff out there on a national scale.
Tell me one story that has impacted either one of you.
Oh gosh, we just started accepting veterans into our program in January, and we're already serving seven. Mm-hmm. And each one of their stories is so powerful. One of our veterans, we are paying for her to get her private pilot's license. And if you could see the smile on her face when she landed, that was just life changing. For her, she had always had a dream of flying. This wasn't just like, oh yeah, let's do something fun. She'd always had this dream of flying, and then she got married. And then she had a kid, and she thought it was off the table. And you know it's expensive as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of thing we're seeing the joy in her eyes. We had another woman who she was wrestling with some mental health issues and had a previous suicide attempt, actually. And, you know, we're going to be serving her. And so hearing her, like, grow already just through some of our initial family advocacy calls has been really powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have anything to follow? We got about 30 seconds left, you guys.
No, I mean, I'm just excited. I'm excited to do this work. Yeah. Right. Because yeah.
Good.
If we're not anything, we're just here to do what God wants us to do. Right. And I'm excited to do that. And that's why I think this has scaled so quickly, is because this has been a calling for Gabe and I.
Yeah. And I think for all of those who have served out there, again, thank you for that. If I say you're not alone, maybe it just sounds like words. But we've just spent the hour here talking about how you really are not alone. WarriorTransitionOutdoors.org is one of many places to go. If you're looking for more long-term, and if you're looking for that family connection, might be a good one here. But it's not the only one. There's going to be something that fits you out there, all right? Don't go down that trail of hopelessness, all right? Recognize if you're on it, and take a turn. Gavin, Gabe, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
See you guys tomorrow.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.